This is The Annex, a sociology podcast. I'm Joseph Cohen from Queens College in the City University of New York. For more, visit theannexpodcast.com.
A lot of you have probably read that this Cambridge Analytica scandal, which I guess broke a little over a week ago, where some, I think it was former employees of this company that had basically scraped a ton of Facebook data, I think the data of 50 million users, and then had used that to, they called it psychographic targeting of voters. They worked for the Trump campaign and basically used this data to, you know, try to, I guess, pitch targeted ads to various sorts of people. It seems to have raised a lot of questions among all sorts of people about kind of the implications for privacy for Facebook users. You know, I think a lot of people were not necessarily aware. There was a long period of time between when Facebook launched apps, you know, this idea that you could kind of connect to apps that were created by outside developers. I think up until 2014, these apps could basically get access to, you know, if you clicked some user agreement, which no one ever reads, I'm sure, basically the apps could get access not only to all of your Facebook data, but also to all of your friends' Facebook data. Mark Zuckerberg is apparently, I think, going to be called in for congressional hearings. Mm-hmm. And this whole kind of scandal raises a lot of questions, I think, for a lot of people, a lot of Facebook users, especially about what exactly they are doing that other people have access to on Facebook and, you know, kind of what their rights should be. These are questions that a lot of scholars of information and communications have been talking about for years, and I think are excited, but also kind of asking what took so long for people to start to take up some of these questions about a business model, which is really based on selling users' attention based on very personal data about individual users.
Yeah, totally. First of all, I saw a lot of people who are mad at Facebook in particular and talking about wanting to show Facebook that they're unhappy. But I mean, Facebook could disappear tomorrow and there's like 10 other companies that have a lock on everything you do. Like, that's why all this stuff on the internet is free. It's the cost you pay is your privacy.
You're the product, yeah.
Yeah, but no, but the point is that, like, this isn't just Facebook. This is how the new economy is organized.
Look at Google's valuation as well. I mean, this is basically all based on ad revenue that comes from hyper-targeted ads that use a lot of very personalized data.
I think there are two things that people are actually, like, you know, really upset about it. I mean, I think the first is that Facebook, I mean, I guess it still bills itself as like being this space in which you get together with your loved ones, right? Your friends and your family, and you share pictures of your baby or your cat or your dog. You tell people that you just got married, or you tell people that your grandma just died. So I think the fact that so much of Facebook for so many people is so, even though it's in some ways public, it's so intensely personal, that it's kind of like this idea that this kind of information is being mined for profit, I think is what makes people intensely angry, right? It's sort of like profane, the sacred space, which is the sharing of love, right? You know, mixes with the profane.
Yeah, there's this huge gap between the rhetoric, you know, of the company around community and then what people think about the actions behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think what people are so mad about is that it's being mined for profit. People have been comfortable for a long time with this kind of data being mined for profit. You know, oh, we'll give you a free digital cat if you, you know, send us your phone address book. Sure. What pisses people off is the only thing that pisses people off nowadays, which is sheer partisanship. You know, what's upsetting people is the idea, you know, this is the latest Satan in the theodicy of the 2016 election. For the last year and a half, we've had this continuing kind of like collective national thing of like what went wrong, what caused it. And you have all sorts of people offering answers, including very amusing people like Eric Garland and whatever her name is, that Grand Marshal, the Supreme Court woman. But what's upsetting people is the idea that this could have contributed to the 2016 election, which I think is kind of interesting. Like, if you think back to the framing of the Constitution, Madison had this whole idea of setting ambition against ambition. That hasn't worked terribly well lately with the separation of powers, largely because Congress wants to abdicate its powers to the imperial presidency, and has for a while. It does seem to be working in kind of a partisan sense, where issues of privacy that people didn't care about, you know, assuming they're worth caring about, there's finally the hook to get people to care. But what's ironic about this is I don't think Cambridge Analytica actually had an effect on the election that's worth talking about.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. If you talk to anybody in kind of like the Republican consulting class, they'll always talk about these people were complete amateurs, and the only reason anyone ever bought their services is because the Mercers liked them. And so you'd buy their services to impress the Mercers so that the Mercers would donate to your PAC or whatever. But really, it was just amateur hour. And the other ironic thing is it was more unethical in terms of how they collected the data, but it was less effective and less extensive than the Obama 2012 digital campaign.
The data wasn't stolen in the 2012 digital campaign, so that's pretty important.
Well, it wasn't. This one, apparently, they gave you like a video game and didn't tell you it was being used for political marketing.
No, they didn't give it to you. My understanding was a researcher took it for other purposes and then gave it to them illegally.
Yeah. It was under false pretenses. Whereas with the Obama campaign, you explicitly gave them to permission to use your data for political purposes. But in so doing, you didn't just give them your own information. You gave them that of your egocentric network.
No, Gabriel, they let you know that. They let you know that they would be connecting with your friend network.
First of all, people don't read that. And second of all, do you have the right to give them my data because I'm part of your egocentric network?
No, I don't know. That's another question.
And people have actually dug up things where Facebook basically told the Obama team, like, this is a little bit sketchy. We don't really like it, but we support what you guys are doing. So we'll wait to change the rules denying these permissions until after the election.
I'm going to put a bracket on that one. But I will say, like, okay, so there's a... I'll put a pin on that one and we'll see. But, like, there's a couple interesting things here. So one is, do you think that they're really just mad about Trump? Or do you think that their prior sort of interest in Trump or feelings about Trump have led them to become aware of the fact that their information is being used? So one is they only care about this cynically in a partisan sense. And the other situation is they weren't really paying attention to what Facebook was selling. And it finally hit the appropriate nerve that people got mad about it. Like, which one do you think it is?
I think it's the latter.
I think liberals are mad about Facebook privacy in the same way and for the same reasons that evangelicals are okay with adultery.
It's like it doesn't serve their purposes at this moment type of thing.
Yeah, well, it's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, you have like kind of moral opinions that you can ratchet up and ratchet down. And there's a lot of motivated reasoning going on into like, oh, you know, suddenly, you know, evangelicals who as a group were appalled at the Lewinsky scandal are now completely taking the position of, oh, it doesn't affect the execution of the office for much worse behavior by Trump.
What about the fact that it's a major data breach, though, and Facebook has a lot of sensitive information?
Oh, there's been much worse data breaches. This is nothing compared to, you know, the hack of the federal government's employee database or the hack of, credit rating people. I mean, as a data breach, this is nothing compared to that.
I don't know about that because the data set that Facebook has is fantastically rich. Like if Google had a breach like that, I mean, the potential is that people would have emails or private messages circulating. The insurance companies or financial companies, even the government doesn't have your private communications. So I think people put a lot into Facebook and like a lot of information, and it's a breach. There's also that issue.
I like the even the government doesn't have it. Now who's being naive, Kay?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll leave it at that.
You've been listening to The Annex, a sociology podcast. For more information, visit theannexpodcast.com. Music is by Lena Orsa. Our production team included Anika Chowdhury and Liseth Moreno. On behalf of the Annex team, I'm Joe Cohen. Thanks for listening.